Good morning. My name is Rob Griffin. I'm a deacon here at Grace Generation Church. And this morning I'm going to continue with our series on Jonah and loving our city. Over the last few weeks we've been going through the book of Jonah, and we've seen Jonah as the bridge builder, Jonah as a preacher on the run, the way God pursues prodigals. And last week Craig looked at Jonah's prayer in chapter 2. This morning I want to have another look at this prayer and see some of the lessons we can learn from Jonah's prayer. Jonah was going through a time of distress, and we all go through these times, and there are lessons we can learn from this prayer of Jonah. So let's turn to the Word of God. I'm going to read Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, through to the end of chapter 2. I'm going to read to you from the ESV version. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried for help, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, that you will speak to us today through your word. Thank you that just as Jonah went through a time of distress and you were there to rescue him, you rescue us in times of distress. As we look at your word today, Holy Spirit, open our hearts to receive the word that you have for us today. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Great. So we're looking again at this wonderful prayer of Jonah from chapter 2. And I wanted to focus on how Jonah dealt with the distress in his life. Because from time to time, we all face times of distress in our lives. The gravity of the distress may vary from time to time and from person to person. But what is certain is that we will all face times of distress. Even the Apostle Peter said, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. When we face times of distress, it's not something strange. These things will happen. And we need to be ready to be able to cope with these times of distress. You see, times of distress can cripple us, paralyze us, and make us ineffective for the mission that God has called us to do. And so it's important we know how to deal with these times. If we are going to be effective in reaching our city for Jesus, we need to know what to do when we face times of distress. When I speak of distress, I'm talking about those times when we face some sort of crisis in our life, some very difficult situation. It may be something that we faced in the past. It may be something that you're currently going through. And I know that there are many of us here today who are going through trials of various phases and various stages of our lives. And we need to know how to draw on God during these times of difficulty. One thing we can be assured of, that we will all face trials in the future, and so we need to be ready to deal with them. These trials could be of a financial nature caused by unemployment or some other cause. Perhaps it's a health issue that you're dealing with. Perhaps it's the loss of a loved one or a difficult situation at work. I know some of you have had to flee the country of your birth, and you face a daily struggle as you try and make a new life in South Africa. What causes these times of difficulty in our life? Well, they can be caused by circumstances completely beyond our control. They could come through war, natural disaster, the current pandemic we're going through. Perhaps it's caused by the decisions of others, and they directly impact your life. And these are things that happen that you have no control over, but it creates a crisis in your life. Perhaps it's something that is from your own decisions that you make. It is caused by what you've done. Like Jonah, who disobeyed God, and because of his disobedience, he faced a crisis. So Jonah faced the crisis because of disobedience. But even sometimes we face crises because of our obedience to God. Our obedience to God can result in hardship, persecution, imprisonment, rejection by family. Sometimes we face crises because God is going through a process of discipline in our lives or testing. The Bible tells us that as a man disciplines his son, so God disciplines us, his children. And in Job we read, it says, God knows the way we have taken, and when he has tested us, we will come forth as gold. So whatever causes our distress, whether it's of our own making or it's something completely beyond our control, I believe there are lessons we can learn from Jonah's prayer and apply them to our lives. Jonah received two commissions to go to Nineveh. The first time, he disobeyed. He ran away from God. He didn't go to Nineveh. Later on, he receives a second commission to go to Nineveh. This time, he obeys God, and he went to Nineveh. So what happened between these two commissions of Jonah that resulted in a completely different response from Jonah? As Craig said last week, this prayer of Jonah marked a turning point in Jonah's life. And we see that this happens between the two commissions. You see, Jonah faced a trial, a time of distress between the two commissions. And as a result, his response was different. Jonah's distress was self-inflicted. Nevertheless, it was distress, and it was severe distress, almost to the point of death. How did Jonah respond to the distress in his life? He responded in a way that we read in this psalm of thanksgiving in Jonah chapter 2. Jonah says this prayer, and it is in the form of a psalm of thanksgiving, like many psalms of thanksgiving we find in the Bible. And most of those psalms follow a certain format, a similar format. They have an introductory statement of appreciation and rescue. They have a description of the misery rescued from. They appeal for there's the appeal for rescue and the rescue itself. And then finally, there's a promise to continue showing gratitude by future worship. Jonah was obviously well-versed in the Psalms, and his prayer follows this format. In fact, throughout his prayer, we see echoes of the Psalms. Jonah's prayer of thanksgiving was exactly that, a prayer of giving thanks to God for saving him. And it is spoken from the belly of a huge fish. He is thanking God for saving him, but he is in the belly of a huge fish. You see, he didn't need to be rescued from the fish. His place of distress was before he got swallowed up, when he was drowning in the waves that were choking the life out of him. But now he is in the belly of a fish, and he has been saved. And so from this belly of the fish, he speaks a psalm of thanksgiving. This place of salvation that Jonah finds himself in isn't a particularly comfortable place. You may have seen images of Jonah in children's Bible stories, of Jonah kneeling down in this air bubble of a huge whale, praying to God. I even saw one image of Jonah camping inside a whale with a little fire and smoke coming out the spout. Jonah's situation wasn't so comfortable. It was smelly. It was hot. It was claustrophobic. He was probably drifting in and out of consciousness as he was in the fish. But as he was in this fish, drifting in and out of consciousness, Jonah realized he had been saved. He had been saved from drowning, and so he gives thanks to God for his salvation. Let's have a look at this prayer now. The prayer has an opening statement, and then there's six lessons that I want to highlight that we can learn from this prayer. The opening statement is in verse 2. It says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. So that's an opening description of his situation, the position he was in. I was in distress, and I called out to God, and he answered me. Interestingly, the Hebrew word for distress is the opposite of the Hebrew word for salvation and or deliverance. So we see here in the beginning that Jonah is in need of salvation, and at the end, there's the statement, salvation belongs to the Lord, where salvation can be found. So sandwiched between the statement of I need salvation and where salvation is found comes Jonah's prayer. Let's see what lessons we can learn from this prayer. So there's six lessons, and as I go through this almost verse by verse, I will read the verse and just draw out the lesson we can learn from the verse. So the first lesson we learn is when we cry out in distress, God answers us. We see it in verse 2, the second part of verse 2. Out of the belly of Sheol. Sheol was the name of the place where the dead reside. The residence of the dead was called Sheol, the underworld. So out of the belly of Sheol, I cried for help, and you heard my voice. Jonah starts off his prayer by telling God, from the lowest of lows, from the belly of Sheol, from deep in the world of the dead, I cried out to you, God, and you heard me and you answered me. Perhaps the words of the psalmist went through his mind. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. The lesson we learn from this verse is that no matter how desperate our situation is, no matter how low we are, when we cry out to God, he will hear us and he will answer us. And even like in Jonah's case, where his distress is because of his own fault, he is guilty, God answers despite his guilt. The second lesson is to acknowledge that God is at work in your time of distress. Verse 3, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. So Jonah continues with his prayer of thanksgiving, acknowledging that it's God who's put him in this place. You cast me into the sea. Your waves and your billows are going over me. He's not blaming God for his situation. No, Jonah has accepted his guilt and his fault when he, in the previous chapter, when he told the sailors, no, it's his fault that there is a storm and they must throw him overboard. So Jonah knew he was guilty, but he knows God is working in him. He knows that his God is a loving God who disciplines the ones he loves. And so he knows that God is working in him at this very moment. Perhaps he recalls Psalm 94, blessed is the one you discipline, Lord. You grant them relief from the days of trouble. As Jonah was about to drown and the waves were going over him, maybe the words of Psalm 118 came to his mind. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me to death. Jonah recognizes that as terrible as his situation is, God is at work in him, disciplining him. The purpose of discipline is always for our good, so that we can share in the holiness of God. So the lesson we need to learn is to recognize that when we are facing a time of distress, God is at work in the situation. It may not necessarily be that God is disciplining you, but he is at work in you. And we do not know what the outcome of that will be. Joseph was sold by his brothers in slavery to Egypt. And he landed up in a very stressful place. He was imprisoned in Egypt. But throughout his time of distress, God was working behind the scenes for the ultimate good of his family and for the salvation of Israel. So we don't know at the time we're going through these times of difficulty and struggle what God is doing. The outcome may only become clearer later. But as Paul said, our momentary troubles will achieve for us eternal glory. The third lesson that we learn comes from verse 4. God is ever present in times of distress. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. There are times when we are going through very difficult situations, and God seems so far away. That's what Jonah felt. I'm driven away from your sight, he says. But we know that God never leaves us or forsakes us. And Jonah, probably as he felt he was being driven away from God, remembered the promises of God. I will not die, but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. As he was struggling to keep his head above the water, he says, but I will look again upon your presence. You too may feel you're drowning, struggling to keep your head above water, but God promises never to leave you or forsake you. Even though you don't feel the presence of God, he is there. And that absence, that feeling of the absence of his presence is only temporary. You will be aware of God's presence again. The fourth lesson we learn is from verse 5 to 7, that God has a means of grace to save you. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountain. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. As he continues his prayer of thanksgiving, Jonah recalls those moments just before he was swallowed up by the fish. He knew that he was drowning. He couldn't breathe. The waves were choking the life out of him. And he began to sink to the underworld, to the deepest depths of the sea, whose bars would close on him forever. Then comes that contrast of word, but. I was drowning, but. I couldn't breathe, but. I was sinking to the underworld, but. I was cut off forever, but. But you, O Lord my God, brought me up from the pit. At that very moment that Jonah thought he was all over, the fish was there, ready to save him. As Jonah's life was ebbing away, he cried out to God, called his God. And as he was prayed, God was there, ready, waiting to receive Jonah's prayer. The fish was ready, on standby. As soon as Jonah's prayer reached God, the fish was there to lift Jonah from the pit. The fish was God's means of grace for Jonah. As we face difficult situations, know that God has a means of grace to lift you up out of your situation. We also see that Jonah's salvation came in stages. Jonah was inside the belly of a fish. This was not his final salvation. No, Jonah knew that he was drowning, and now he's saved, even though he was in the belly of a fish. It wasn't very comfortable, but for now, he wasn't drowning. The next stage of his salvation was still to come, when the fish would vomit him up on dry land. But he was grateful for this stage of his salvation. And so he offers up this prayer of thanksgiving. God's timing is always perfect, and we need to be grateful for every stage of salvation, of deliverance that we experience during difficult times. God knows when to give us each stage, and we can be grateful for each stage that we experience. The fifth lesson we learn from this prayer is, where does your hope lie? Verse 8, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. So Jonah reflects on, for a moment, on the foolishness of those whose hope is in anything else other than God. Those who follow worthless idols, idols of things that don't even exist. And those that follow after these things have abandoned, have forsaken their hope in God's steadfast love. As John Piper says, if you leave the Lord, you leave mercy. If you are in a desperate situation, where does your hope lie? If your hope lies in anything else other than God and his love for you, you are putting your hope in an idol. Anything that takes the place of God in your life is an idol. Is your hope in a new job, in a new country, in a new government, in winning the lotto? If so, you are putting your hope in an idol. Our hope must be in God and in him alone. The sixth lesson we learn is the importance of thanksgiving and praise. We see this in verse 9. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah affirms that he will not be like those who put their hope in anything else. His hope is in God alone. Salvation belongs to God, and it is found in him alone. Salvation doesn't belong to anyone else. It's in God alone. It's not found in his job or his position or his race or his marriage, his citizenship or his physical condition. In God alone is our hope. And he alone is worthy of thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude. And like Jonah, we need to show gratitude to God in whom we find salvation. Salvation is in God alone. We need to give thanks to him. You see, the advantage of giving thanks to God is that we don't think we're doing this in our own strength. We haven't saved ourselves. It is by God that we have experienced salvation and deliverance. So in conclusion, as we face times of distress in our lives, let's learn these lessons that Jonah teaches us on how to cope with times of distress. Know for certain that when you are in distress and you call out to God, he will answer you. Know too that when you are going through those times of distress, God is at work in that situation. He is working for your good. For he's doing things in your life that will have eternal value. God promises to never leave or forsake us. No matter how deep the pit is that you feel you are in during these times of distress, God promises to always be there. His presence is always with us. Betsy Ten Boom in the concentration camp, her sister said to her about the situation they were in and said, oh, what a deep pit we find ourselves in. And Betsy replied, but there's no pit too deep where God's love is not deeper still. God's presence is with you during these times of distress. Remember too that God has a means of grace on standby, ready to draw you out of your situation and to bring you to a place of safety. Remember too that we need to put our hope in God alone. We mustn't put our hope in anything else. Doing that would result in us creating idols in our lives. And let us not forget to give thanksgiving to God for what he is doing in terms of bringing us out of our times of distress. Peter reminds us that the trials and challenges that we face have come so that the tested genuineness of our faith may result in praise, glory, and honor. when Jesus Christ is revealed. And as we face trials and difficulties and challenges, they are there to test the genuineness of our faith. And there will come a time when that our faith will bring glory and honor and praise when Jesus is revealed. Christian, let's take a moment to reflect and offer up a prayer of thanksgiving to God for what he has done, that he has delivered us from a place of distress. There was a time when we were living without him, when we were living in sin, in need of salvation. As we were drowning in our lives of sin, God sent his means of grace, Jesus, to die for us, to pay the price for our sins. Jesus died that we may live. Jesus rose from the grave that we may have eternal life. Let us give thanks to God for that. And if there are any hearing this message today who haven't encountered the risen Jesus Christ in your life, God has a means of salvation for you to save you from the sea of sin and death. I exhort you, I urge you, encourage you, cry out to him. God is ready on standby to save you and to bring you out of a dangerous place, to bring you to a place of safety, into his presence. For God so loved you, he loved you so much that he sent Jesus to rescue you. And anyone who believes in him will not die, but will live eternally. God did not send his son to the world as its judge. God sent his son into the world as its savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And thank you for the promises that we can draw from your word. That in times of distress, of difficulty, of challenges, and we all face these, Lord, that you are there to help us during those times. You are there working in our lives for your good and for our good. And Lord God, you have a means of grace for each one of us to save us and draw us out from that time of distress. Thank you too, Jesus, that you died for us on the cross, that you died so that we may live, that you rose again that we may have eternal life. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray for anyone who hasn't reached out to you, cried out to you, to receive you, Lord Jesus, as the means of grace of saving them from their sin, that they would do that today and call on you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.